All right. Well, we're into the new year now and beginning to feel it. I don't know about you, but I am actually feeling a difference. It's almost as if there is a different destiny for this year, and we're moving toward it, a different energy, and a different spirit of recovery. Instead of the first stages of recovery, it's more like we're glad we did. It might not all be over yet, but we know we're going. We know we're in the end stages of recovery and ready to actually plan a future that looks and feels different from what we went through the last couple of years. So I just thought, you know, it would be a good focus today to put forth that which we're needing and wanting, desiring, hoping, blessing, and discuss the various factors of our heart, mind, and spirit that bring about the best of who we are and the best of our human community and our planetary environment, because we share all of these. And I hope that one of the things that we have learned through our 2 years of trial and great challenge, not that they're the only ones we've ever had, but they were intense. And we all know that. I think we emerged beyond a lot of conflicts we had before going into it. I think that one of the things that's really imperatively in front of us is we are just one race. One race. We all have the same immune system. We all have the same volatility. We all have the same, vulnerability and the same desire to protect ourselves, our loved ones, and our whole human community, because we had a good opportunity from the negative curve to see how involved we all are with each other. So now it's time to take that realization and turn it into how good can we make it for each other? How can we be one race, one family, one culture with diverse orientations, but essentially one human culture, that we're building a better environment for us to share. So I think it's a good thing to just start off with a new year, thinking about positive avenues such as that. Of course, as always, we want to hear about what you need prayers for, and for your loved ones, because all of these things are what we're here to do together. So, Nancy, hope you're doing great.
I am.
Yeah, you usually are, because you really put your life together very well for all those you love, and they love you right back.
Well, you asked about the, you know, the new year and resolutions or something last time, and I was reflecting on that again and just thinking, gosh, you know, we've got so much miraculous stuff in front of us with Love Without End and everything that we've learned in our own lives. But if we just applied it all the time, it'd be amazing, you know, what we would always see. And I think the opposite is always true, too. When we don't, you know, we see what life lacks, and it just is really apparent. So I just think for me, it's like really taking all of those messages and all of those truths, which are always, you know, changing and growing and new, and exciting that, you know, we just really live them, and I think we'll create what you're talking about. So, yeah.
We're on our way, you know. We are on our way, and that doesn't mean there won't be speed bumps on the road, but we're on
right.
our way. Okay. And if we do it together and we help one another, we're going to make it. Yeah. Absolute positive affirmation. We're on our way, and we're going to make it. Maybe
we
not
are.
As far as we want to go in 1 year, but we're gonna be really happy at the end of this year. At
such
what
a good attitude.
Yeah, we are. So let's just dig into it, and I'll say it as one little bit of preemptive redirection from affirmations we may have made in the past, you know, resolutions. Most of them were made. Most were made over a glass of champagne or a glass of orange juice on New Year's Day at breakfast. And they're filled with unexamined optimism. Just, hey, wouldn't it be great this year if we do da-da-da-da-da, you know. And then we put behind that an agreement with everybody at the table. Yeah, let's do that. And a month later, we're wondering what happened to those affirmations, those New Year's resolutions, because we don't even remember what they were. So we're gonna approach this a little differently, because we're gonna look at what Yeshua taught us about really, really making life work. And for him, making life work means making it work for the most positive, helping you get what you want and need to create the best you that you can be. So we're going to bring in his wisdom. We're going to share with one another wisdom we've learned ourselves through living. And so I see there's already some people in the queue, Nancy, so I'm going to turn this over to you now. All right.
Okay. Yes, we've got so many wonderful folks. Welcome. We're so happy you're here. Let's see. It looks like, Elizabeth. And I think there was somebody else and her line just got bumped. So please call back.
Okay. Hi, Nancy. You can hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. I just have a few blessing requests for friends. The first one is for my friend George French, who's in New Orleans, and his whole family. They're just going through a very rough patch. Yeshua knows what it all is, so I just ask for blessings for George French and his whole family, that things calm down and work out in a peaceful, loving manner. The next blessing is for my sister Virginia, whose new house is just in the very last stages of being ready to start to move in, and she will do that this week. And I would just ask for Yeshua's blessing on this new house, that it will be blessed forever, and that everything in her life will start to work out. Her broken leg is doing so much better, and she's doing so much better with the loss of her two beloved dogs, and everything is starting to work out. It's just time, but I'd ask for a special blessing for this new house and her new life.
Oh,
and
yes.
The last one is just for me. I've got New Year things that I want to start moving, and I want to work from my soul's wisdom, not my brain. And I'd ask Yeshua to help me to make the decisions moving forward from my soul's wisdom and not from my human brain. And that's it.
You couldn't have asked a better person.
Yes. And gratitude for all the little miracles that happened this week when I misplaced something and I just prayed, and immediately within 3 minutes it just miraculously showed up again, and other little miracles. All through the week, I had a myriad of just little miracles, and I'm just so grateful for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Glenda.
Gratitude is highly contagious. Life loves your gratitude so much. When it gets the chance to feel it, it's going to create more things for you to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's one of the great secrets of good living, is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And contrary to that, I have actually noticed people who complain usually get more reasons to complain. It's an unfortunate thing, but
yes.
It's true.
It is.
Yeah. So, as you set, for all of us, as you set your new year up, remember to press, to precede everything with gratitude. Not just for the last year, but gratitude for things that haven't even happened yet. You know they're going to. That strengthens faith. It's a great practice for strengthening faith. Go ahead and pay it forward with gratitude.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Glenda. Blessings to you both.
And to you.
God loves you
always. God bless.
Thank you.
Well, Glenda, we have Stormy. Your line is open.
Well, hi, Stormy.
Yes. Are you hearing me clearly? I'm getting static on my end.
We hear you clearly.
Oh, that's good. And I'm hearing you clearly now. I want to give a blessing to for my family, for my ancestors, and for my children and grandchildren, for the bloodline that runs between us, for my daughter Lori has traveled all around the world, spent 3 years in Africa studying to be a foreign diplomat. So where her feet has been, my feet have been. And my ancestors' feet also have been. And where her voice has been, my voice has been, and also my ancestors' voice has been. And so, connected in spirit and soul, I wish to honor that which is within us all.
I love that, Stormy. That is a great, a great visualization and truth. This is actually in the Bible, where it says, you shall move forward in time by 5 generations. And so maybe more generations than that, depending on your blood, how strong your blood connection is with the past and the future. But, it is the word of God that your blood travel forward and backwards to stand on the same ground. So it's a great realization you had, Stormy, and thank you for sharing it. We will ask for blessings for your bloodline.
Another blessing, Glenda. I once gave you a CD of my music, and who knows where it is and all the moving that you have done. But Bo, who played the piano for you at your book signing, offered to take me to California and make me a millionaire and make me world famous, though it was not in what I was to do. I had other things to do. Nevertheless, that CD that you have somewhere is worth $1 million.
Wow.
And one day, it'll get out there. It'll get produced. And it'll bring income into the church for generations to come as people will find it and hear it and recreate it and know that that seed is planted there in the ministry of what you have started.
What
and,
wonderful
you know, years
thought,
ago,
mm-hmm.
You asked me when we first met to represent. You said you were looking for someone to represent your art with my music. And so this is part of it. This is part of that first time we got together and you listened to my music and we spoke. So that seed is planted and it is being nurtured under God's direction. And we trust and know the value of ourselves and our relationship to our fellow man. And what God is bringing forth from within each of us to share with each other.
Well, I love that, Stormy, and I'm sure it will turn up sometime because everything that's dear to me was saved who knows where. I'm still unpacking a year after moving. And some things will stay packed for a little while longer because I don't know how long I will be in this particular house. But I love the house. And I'm pretty sure I've got it for another year. And maybe I wouldn't mind if I had it for two more years, really, because I don't like moving. And I actually like where I am. It's a lovely little place and a sweet community that I'm in, kind of a suburb of within the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it's a sweet little community. Everything I need is here. So I was tremendously blessed with this, and I'm happy here. I'm just generally happy with everything. You know, Stormy, when I talk to you, I see always how happy you are, regardless of the circumstances in the three-dimensional world. And I feel that, too. I feel the same way. There can be situations and issues and circumstances in the 3D world, but that isn't the joy that brings us life. The joy that brings us life is from the heart, it's from the soul, and from realizing our value in the world and our worth to those that we love and serve. So it's a feat. And I think to wrap up our conversation, Stormy, by far, the most common analogy that Yesh would use for communicating wisdom was the parable of the seed. It's many seeds that were cast, the seeds that are tiny but they grow, the seeds that are nurtured by faith. It doesn't matter how small we begin with anything in life, that seed has the potential to grow into a mighty, mighty offering to the world. So thanks for sharing that spirit with me. I just love that in you, Stormy, and thanks for blessing our blessings today.
Thank you, Stormy. Okay, Glenda, we have Caroline. Hi.
Hi.
We're so happy you're here.
Yes. Can you guys hear me okay today?
We can.
Great. Well, you know, I wasn't sure whether I should do this, but I'm going out on a limb today with a blessing I would like. I am kind of fed up with all the self-censorship that I've been doing and a lot of my associates have had to be doing. And I would like to put out a blessing for a constitutional amendment for health freedom, because it's something that we absolutely do not have in the United States. And also, I would like to see an end to the censorship of opposing views by the label misinformation. As an ex-BBC journalist, I can see how appalling that is and how it leads to the road to anti-democracy and fascism, to be honest, to take it to that level. I know we don't want to get super political. So
no, we are all encountering that on some level, but medicine should not be a subject for the government. I do not want a politician to tell me what I can and cannot use to heal my body.
Right.
Yep. And since the Flexner report and the takeover of medicine by Big Pharma, that has absolutely been the case. But the other thing that I would like a blessing for is all the millions of people in the world who either died or who have suffered serious illness and injury from the COVID-19 vaccine, as detailed in Edward Dowd's excellent book that just came out, Cause Unknown. And I would like a blessing.
It's called. I'm sorry. What? It's called what? Carolyn.
Edward Dowd.
It's called what?
Edward. Cause Unknown. Or to use
Cause Unknown.
Cause Unknown. He's a financial expert who worked with an actuarial expert and looked at the all cause mortality statistics that the claims that had come into insurance companies, and they have skyrocketed since the onset of the COVID-19 jab. The data is there, it's crystal clear, but the mainstream media is not covering it. Even though this book, it's a bestseller in 3 categories. So,
I'm going to get a copy. I will get a copy for sure.
It's a short book. It's got a lot of photographs, but it's devastating to see how many people have dropped dead from the COVID-19 jab. I hear the ambulances going all the time here where I am in Maui. The morgue is full. They have to use the police station to house the bodies now. That's what I've heard. So it's really bad, really bad. And so many people are disabled. So I'm fed up so much of having to censor this and self-censor myself. So I just wanted to put a blessing out there for those people to be healed and for health freedom in this country and worldwide.
Absolutely. I am 100% with you. And I know for a fact, confirmed by forces above, that everything health-wise I went through for 2 years was a reaction to the vaccine jab. I had to take it. I was against it. I was not going to take it. But I had a tumor in my leg that had to be removed, and I could not be admitted to the hospital without consenting to the vaccine. So, as it turns out, the tumor was benign. My leg healed. That was no problem. But from 2 weeks after that, the various symptoms I had suffered for 2 years began to appear. Fortunately, I have a strong constitution, I have strong faith, and a lot of upward guidance, as well as my openness to miracles that were essential. But this is available to everyone, but their faith isn't up to reaching for it. And they don't know how to reach for it. They don't know where to reach. And they don't have the recognition of what the cause is so that they could do something about it. So it's very important that we speak up, very important, because we've never had anything like this before where we the people could actually be exploited by those who are supposed to be taking care of us. So we have to speak up. And even last week, I was denied a prescription that I'd been taking for 20 years. Very benign prescription, because I got profiled for my age. And I said, look, my age is not determined by the calendar. You've got my blood test. You've got all my vitals. That determines my age. Well, but this is what the FDA says. The FDA overruled my vitals, my blood test, and put me right square into the calendar. And I walked out. I said, I'm getting another doctor.
Right. Yeah. But the trouble is, in so many areas like California, where they've now passed this gag law for doctors, which is appalling.
The doctors aren't allowed to speak the truth. Exactly. Yeah. That's why my doctor had to go along with the FDA, because I knew he was gagged. And I said, I'm getting another doctor. And,
if I could add something.
You know the truth. You have to hold up to it. Everybody, you must, in order to speak the truth, you have to know the truth. So the first thing is to consult your inner knowing, then look for those who have valid, truly valid information to share, and then even sort that out and sift that through your inner knowing. And once you know the truth, you can be a voice in the world. And
that's why I like Edward Dowd's work, because he goes for the data. His training is in finance. He was a BlackRock portfolio manager. He sees patterns. He sees trends. He doesn't get sidetracked by anything else except the actual data, and what insurance companies are getting is true data, because they're having to pay out for all these claims. And there's a lot of noise on either side of the debate, and a lot of fringe stuff that people exploit to get more to clickbait or whatever it is. But when you look at the actual data, it's crystal clear.
And if I could add something too, Elizabeth, and to the community, the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance, it's the FLCCC, they do have a webpage with wonderful health protocols of things to do if you're having some reactions or weird stuff going on physically. So, you know, maybe for like the detoxing side of things, or it's really good. It's the FLCCC. And there is another book too that's wonderful. Gary got it for Christmas from one of our kids. And it's by Robert Malone, Dr. Robert Malone, who, you know, invented the mRNA, gene therapy and all of that. And he wrote a book called Lies My Government Told Me and the Better Future Coming. So he is hopeful, like you were speaking, Glenda. You know, I think, you know, maybe we had to go through some of this turmoil to sort of get to a more clearer grounding, if you will. So I might recommend that book as well. I mean, I haven't read it myself, but I recommend just, I think he's a person of integrity, and he's pretty honest and pretty brilliant, too. So that might be a good read.
Nancy, what's the name of that book again? Yes, what's the name?
Lies My Government Told Me.
Lies My Government Told Me. I have it on my bookshelf. Lies My Government Told Me. I haven't. But what I'd also like
to say is,
well, Carolyn, we want this so the community can hear. Okay?
Lies My Government Told Me. Lies My Government Told Me. With the government
and
the COVT by Robert Malone.
But there's a byline, and the better future coming. So there is another part of the title. I feel that's really relevant. So,
right.
It's very relevant.
And the frontline doctors, I think that's Pierre Corey's organization, or he's involved in that. He's Pierre Corey, Sherry Tenpenny, Edward Dowd, Steve Kirsch, Robert Kennedy Jr., there's a guy or a woman, somebody going under the name Midwestern Doctor. These are all truth speakers and going out and, you know, they are putting their heads out there on the line, and I would like blessings for all those people, so that they can continue speaking their truth without being slammed down by,
Amen.
Forces.
Amen. And thank you for initiating this, Carolyn. You know, we can't let this turn into a town hall meeting, which we probably need to do. But I will conclude with one point of summary, and that is that what we are seeing in this COVID crisis and the COVID jab crisis, both of them, has actually been there all along, but it was concealed by a relatively benign or at least adaptable situation, and nothing was critical enough that this whole government control of medicine could stay submerged. It will never be submerged again, and we need it brought into the light. We do. We can actually not move into the level of life extension that we need to be in, because my friends, I know some people really don't want to live to be 100 or more, but the fact is, 50, 60 years is not enough time to fully percolate human wisdom, human love, and the knowledge we gain from living that we can then share with others. We need life extension. We need it as much as we need it. It will actually bring more peace to the world. There is no one over 50 that wants to fight. I can promise you. They don't want to fight. They don't care about boundaries. They don't care about cultural conflict. After you're over the age of 50, you're much more interested in unity. You're much more interested in peace. You're much more interested in putting together all the wisdom from all the cultures. And if you notice this beginning to happen, it's not just because of the internet. It's also because a generation that started out being multicultural in its orientation, namely the boomers, is now mostly retired, and we're exploring the full extent of what we believe to be true. But But that is actually being curtailed, and I will give you two instances. I was looking for a primary care physician. This was maybe a couple of months ago. And on some, life extension, let's say health-oriented, medication, not medication for recovery of an illness, but for life support. He actually said these words to me. Don't you think you're ready to kind of slow down and cut that off and sort of get ready for winding down? He didn't say that to me. And I said, wow, kidding. I said, how would you feel if I said that to you? And he said, well, I'm already doing that. And I said, oh, you poor thing. How can you do that?
He doesn't know you, Glenda.
Yeah, preventative medicine rather than maintenance medicine. That's really what we need.
Yeah. Well, it was the orientation, but that wasn't the last person I heard it from. I was getting interviewed by another a physician's office, again, about some life extension type management. And he said, you know, a lot of people really don't want life extension. And I said, do we have to talk about other people? I'm the one that came in here. I'm the one that's asking the question. I'm the one that wants what I want. Well, okay. You sure you're up to it? Yes, sir. I'm very up to it. You know, it's not just the jab, everybody. It's a whole contingency of adaptability to the idea that we start putting people into the caboose when they cross 70. We get them ready for the exit picture, make sure they can be winded down comfortably and put on the next train. It's going on. It's a widespread thing, and you won't find out about it until you cross 70. And then it gets scary. Even with close friends who moved me here, they wanted somebody to come by and check on me every day to make sure I hadn't dropped dead. And I just said, get out of here. You better send somebody by here to make sure I haven't blown the wall out because I want to add space on.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've got some work to do. And it's very positive work we need to do. And it's the idea that the soul has no end. And as long as the soul is in charge of our life, there's no reason why we can't even now be here to 150. Even now. And as our bodies adapt genetically and through bloodlines, as Stormy was talking about, we have records in the Bible. What, Methuselah? I think it was like 650 years. Some people have tried to adapt that into moon seasons. Oh, that's ridiculous. The people in the the people in the Near East have colder winters than we do and hotter summers. There's no way they could miss the seasons of the year. They're not going by moon cycles. And it wasn't just Methuselah. It was others who lived a very, very very old age. Not to mention Sarah conceived a baby when she was 60 years old. Well, I don't think I want that. But I think I was praying from that. But I'm just making a point here because we're all of us here today, I think, are preaching to the same point, and that is that others cannot tell us what our values for life are and what our expectations for life are. When our founders set up our Constitution, they weren't just talking about organized religion being free from government. They were talking about the entirety of our personal and human beliefs being sovereign and not being controlled by a government. Okay? And those are the rights we need to protect and make sure they're in place. Because we, the people, will create our future from what we envision as the values we can give to one another. And as we are giving positive and wonderful values to one another, we just keep on going, my friends. Keep on going. I saw, well, I'm going to take the stage for 3 more minutes. And I'm thinking about sending a video clip of this to all of you, through, our mailing system. It's a marvelous thing. It was about, a man who, well, he was from the United States, but he was a banker, right before World War II, when, Hitler's, forces were pumping up and getting ready to go into Poland to really start World War II. Well, they were making their way through Czechoslovakia, and the people in Czechoslovakia were actually being put on trains for relocation, and everybody knew what that meant, and what they were most worried about were their children. Out of his own funds, he went over, and he began to rescue children. And he collected more funds from other people. And they rescued, I've forgotten how many thousand, I think it was at least 60,000 children over the next 2 years. And found foster parents for them, got them back to England, got them adopted. And some of the people, these children, grew up to be outstanding leaders in the world. And this man was honored with just about every honor any country could give him. And yet he remained virtually anonymous through his whole life. He wanted no glory for it whatsoever. His wife found the journals he kept on all the children, all of the expenditures he made, all of the adoptions that he supervised. He found them in boxes on top of boxes in 1986. And she's the one that brought this out to the world. She could not believe what a wonderful task her husband had done. Well, he went on to coordinate the surviving adults from this great mission and get them into contact with one another, so that they could have, they could support each other and continue this work of caring for, children who needed to be adopted from future situations and put into better ones. And, to get to the point of the story, this man who gave up everything in his life went through uncountable hardship, and his life just agreed to it, not even knowing what he was doing, just trusting and loving him and other people that went through all of this with him. Well, he just passed away in 2015. He lived to be 110 years old.
Wow.
That was the point of my story. When you're following Yeshua's commandments, you love one another, you're building values into the world. You're doing what is wonderful and valuable to each other. You keep creating the next day of your future. Your families need you. Your neighbors need you. Your community needs you. Whoever, whatever you've been supporting and building, it needs you to do more. And the only way you're going to do more is to keep on living, guys. So this is why this is why I am so intent upon this focus, because the focus upon death doesn't bring any good to the world. It doesn't. Mm. It brings disability. It actually brings resentment. It brings sadness. It brings depression, a spirit of pointlessness. Well, why did I even bother living 60 years? oh well, I don't think anybody will remember me, but, you know, I hope there's something for me up above in heaven. Well, Billy Graham's answer to that was, you're not going to heaven. He says, you're going to go into a state of bliss for a little while, and then you're going to be, re-inscribed into a mission to another planet that's developing the same as, you're going to be put back to work, guys. I mean, really, that is on a recording. That's on YouTube. And he didn't say it just once. He said it many times. He was a full believer in the eternity of the soul. And he said, you are God's chosen. And you're going to keep on working either here or you'll be relocated somewhere else where you can do even better work and move on. So have that as a statement for longevity from one of the most beloved Christian leaders that we have known since the time of the apostles.
That's so good, Glenda, and thank you so much for that perspective and passion, because Gary always intends to live to be 120 or 30.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
Let's kick up dust together.
There you go.
Yes. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Glenda. And I'm glad that I brought this out. I felt like I was getting a little close to the line with some of what I was saying. But I felt it was necessary. I felt the inspiration to say this and the stuff that I've said. And I am so grateful for the perspective that you have and what you've added here. So,
We kept it positive, didn't we?
Yeah,
we got
yeah.
down to the
and
good work of what it's all about.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, let me see Carolyn, and let's take our next caller, Nancy.
Okay. Bye, Carolyn.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see. We have Eva. Hi, Eva. Your line's open.
Hi.
Hi, Eva.
Thank you. Yeah, I was the one that got bumped at the beginning. It's like. Oh, my line was open, but didn't tell me it wasn't. Yep. That's okay. I'm glad that you
said it. How can we bless your new year, Eva?
Well, I want what you're talking about. This is what I was talking about for many years. Not quite in the same way, but similar. And when I started getting kind of decrepit, that was really bothering me because I wanted to live longer and I wanted to be useful and active. And now with this lengthy recovery time, it's getting harder and harder for me to think that way. So this was really great.
Oh, good.
To have somebody confirm that because so many people talk the other way. I have a friend that I call and she'd say, well, that's the way it is when you get older. That's the way it is. I'm 91 and she has lots of problems. And I've heard this so much in my life. And I keep trying to say, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
It's not. It's not.
And so I'm still waiting for the big blessing which says, yes, you can live longer and you can still be active and do good in the world. So that's the one
you
blessing that
the
I
world and you will
definitely
live
want. What's that?
I said you do good in the world and you will live longer.
Yeah, it's just that now I feel like I'm not doing that much good because I'm just kind of in my chair and up and down and trying to move around so that the pain goes away, but it doesn't go. It was really getting well for a while, and then all of a sudden the pain started coming back, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
Well, let me pass on a little piece of wisdom that a friend gave to me. Not too long ago, I was complaining a little bit that, you know, it's 2 years now, and I'm still recovering. In the past, I would have recovered from almost anything quickly and easily, and it would have been done. And she looked at me and she said, the important thing is you're recovering. And you can't tell recovery how long to take, otherwise you may embed scar tissue. And she said, after considering all that you went through, you do not want to embed scar tissue. You want a clean wound that is clean from the inside out and up so that you can get on with a new life. So I've had
that's what I'm looking for. A better way.
You want a clean healing. So sometimes you just got to sit back and say, okay, to the day. I get in my easy chair and say to God, okay, just do me. Say to my, take over to my easy, okay, just take over. I'm here.
Right?
At your pleasure.
Yeah. But, and what else I want is a blessing for a friend of mine who's a good friend, and she has so many things wrong with her. She was abused as a child. They were in a cult with her parents, and the parents just did whatever the ministers were saying and all that stuff, and she has had a really hard life, and now she just found out something new, which I never heard of, which is called Ehlers-Danlos, where it deals with the problem with the connective tissue, and the joints go out of place, and it's what people used to call double jointed, but probably worse than just that. And and it's supposedly incurable, but I said, well, anything can be cured, and that's sure. She is a wonderful person and writes music and does all kinds of good for others. And she's always going with things in spite of all her troubles, which is a message for me because I said, when I'm in pain, I just can't do those things. It's just tough. But her name is Dee, and she's just got so many problems with her health, asthma, and now this new thing, and diabetes, and kidney disease, and everything is almost everything wrong, but she keeps going, and so I would love to see her have a healing that is lasting, the same as I would like that for me, and I know that it can happen, and I have to believe it will happen.
It absolutely can, and one of the things that I have noticed, I don't know, I won't go so far as to say this is a universal truth, but it's something I have consistently and frequently noticed, is that chronic illnesses, whether they are like asthma or diabetes or arthritis, the long-term chronic type illnesses almost always have their roots in a person's past, something that needs to be forgiven or healed or released in the past. Because it actually, in order to be chronic, it had to have been anchored, or you might say hooked into them, in that path. And finding out what that is and releasing it does a lot to bring the circumstances of it forward to where they can respond more easily to healing consciousness.
That's really good. And even, you know, that's where a good homeopath can come into play, because they work with the root cause of things, and they can give you a constitution or your friend where, you know, it kind of gets to that root thing, because she and the, you know, our life force is always trying to balance, and sometimes it'll manifest in the physical. My friend who had child rheumatoid arthritis when she was like 12, her dad had committed suicide when she was 9, and she suffered ever since, and exactly what you're speaking of, Glenda, releasing that, and something there has always sort of held her hostage. And but she's into the pharmaceutical realm, and I've often, you know, tried to talk to her about, you know, reaching out to a homeopath just to work with that side of things. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. And my heart just said one little thing for you, if you don't mind, Glenda, for you, Eva, that I just felt the love of the whole community here for you. And I just kept thinking about Yeshua always saying, you know, love is the source of miracles, and if you draw on the power of the love for the community for you, maybe you could feel better in your chair, because I love you, so just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, that's so sweet, and yes, we really do love you, Eva. You know, you've been with us for many years, and you're part of our soul, so...
It was really a blessing, because
that really changed my life tremendously when I read Love Without End. It took me a long time to read that book because it was so difficult to understand, and it was like, my goodness, this is taking forever. But I'm so glad that we got the book and we, you know, got the pictures and even Charlie would keep looking at the picture at times, like after he had the stroke and he couldn't talk, and sometimes he'd just go by the ram in the line and he'd just stand there and look at it for a while. And so it's it was a true blessing. And it's just that lately it's been a little more difficult to really keep that focus.
Let's just bring in another. This isn't a truism. It's the truth. Okay. Faith doesn't mean that it will never be hard. Faith doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. Faith just means it will be possible, that it will come to pass. So we have to supply our personal, when our faith is challenged, we support it with dedication, with loyalty, with self-worth. I deserve this. I will receive the healing. I will receive the best that will help me be the best. So you have, it's not to say that faith is weak and therefore the road is hard. Faith never promised us that the road would be easy. It just promised us that we would get to our destination. So the road is filled with whatever needs to be there. And that's where we actually come into need of other qualities of integrity, such as charity. And charity is not just giving to the poor. Charity is gratitude. Charity is the broadness of spirit that knows that we have so many things in our lives we didn't go out and earn. They were just there, or they were given to us. We were blessed with them. We were blessed with a friend. You didn't earn a friend. Your friend is a blessing to you. You didn't earn this community. This community is a gift from God. It's a gift to you. And the same with our loved ones, our children, our marriage partners, our best friends. All the things that we have that we can be, that's really charity. That's the fullness of charity. It's not just saying thank you because someone brought a casserole over. Well, that is gratitude, of course. And you extend the gratitude even further because on another day you'll take cookies back to them. So that's a completed cycle of gratitude. But gratitude, charity is the fullness of spirit. That life itself is a blessing. And if we embrace the fullness of spirit that life is a blessing, there is no end to the blessings that you will receive. And then there's hope. Like faith, hope, and charity. Those were the three points of teaching that Paul was so fond of relaying to his churches. Faith, hope, and charity. Well, what about hope? Well, how is hope different from faith? Well, the simple difference is this. Faith is from the inside out. Faith is from the heart. It's the core of your being. It's the value you place on life and your life, your connection with God, the truth of that which you're seeking and that which you are. Hope is the way you face the various challenges in life. Your faith will be fulfilled, but right now, there's no money in the bank. So, you're gonna put your attention on the things you can hope for that is directed more to external supply. And how can you make yourself available? It might be to getting the right doctor. It might be to getting the right
job or living in the right place. It could be any unique for each one of us and unique for every situation. But hope is the way we focus upon the acquisition of that which is needed. And faith holds hope in place, and charity is the expectation of blessing because of your appreciation of life itself as being a blessing. And actually, Paul said, and the greatest of these is charity.
Yes, I love that chapter.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay, my dear, well, it's good to hear from you, and we've got other people waiting in line. So
yes, sir,
do.
Sir.
Thank you, Eva.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for all your encouragement. I appreciate it.
Okay, let's see. We have Robert. Your line is open.
Oh, it's Tina. Hi.
Oh, it's Tina. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi. Hey, I wanted to ask for a blessing, for having more faith and for a better recovery from an autoimmune problem that I've gotten a couple of years ago. And everything that I wanted to say has already been talked about, and everything I wanted to ask for is has to do with everything that I've heard since I'm on the blessing call today. Praise.
Wonderful.
From Nazi Germany to the doctors and the government taking over, you know, the health. And I had a hard time talking about it. This is how it all started, so I also want to make it really short. The major problem was speaking about it. You know, I knew from the beginning on what this is all about, and I really scrambled. I mean, I so wanted to talk to my family in Germany and tell them not to take this vaccine and to listen and to look and to listen to those doctors, and they have been ridiculous right away, and they have been censored and all this stuff. But we talked about it, and there's a bigger picture, right? And I really always want to go and surrender to the bigger picture. Because, like you said, you know, we can expect the best, no matter what. And
you can.
I'm so right on with you. We expect to have longer lives. I see this completely coming, and I'm so
right
with you with that. And I think it's important to really accept it and not to.
It really is. It really, really is.
And
the shorter lives. If I don't say this, I'll forget it. The shorter life concept was created by tyrannical forces in the world. Really, truly tyrannical forces in the world that wanted to justify caste systems that they were creating socially.
Right.
Caste systems that have people in virtual slavery. They don't wear a ball and chain. They're not owned by somebody, but they're in virtual slavery at the lowest level.
Yeah.
And they never escape the caste system, and they die within the caste system. This has been created by tyrannical forces in the world, around the world.
And it's time
we stared them down and said, no, I'm not doing it.
No, and you know, Linda, I see a lot of beings that work with those forces. Like, you know, I see much in different dimensions. And so do my healing work, and I ask, what is this? What's in the way? I see those beings, and they talk to me. And they say, we battled with you so long, but now we've got your daughter. That's what they said to me. And I said, no, you do not have my daughter, you know? She's strong. And so I'm really, and I know she's strong, you know, and I just wanted to ask a blessing for this, for all the young people that are being manipulated in such evil ways right now. And it's not our medical system, it's the school system. And if there's any mothers or fathers here that have their kids in school, it's like Nazi Germany. They knew what they were doing. Going after the youth, make it look good. You know, like doing something mm-hmm. for the youth. And that's what they're doing right now. And they're telling their kids not to talk to their parents. They tell their kids right. they need their privacy from their parents. Little kids. Only, and then little they kids. Ask them every day, do you think you're a girl or do you think you're a boy? Oh, you're not feeling well today. Oh, that's probably because you're a boy, really. Every day, they do this. And they do this mm-hmm. now in schools. And I just want to tell anyone, if a child comes home from school confused, and if they do gender-affirming care, run. Take your child out of the school. And don't underestimate them, their power. They know how to manipulate people.
Yes, it is. It's very intentional. It's very intentional.
It is, and it's a business. Also.
Yes.
Tina, let's don't take
things down to that level. All right, we could turn this into a town hall meeting, and I think we'd all be pretty much on the same page. But this is for the best of the best for this year. We're going to rise above these things. We've looked at them, we've seen them, and we're going to say no, thank you. This is not what I want for my life, my family. We got better places to go.
Right.
The fact is, my friend, evil really has no power, except that
no.
it becomes collective. It has to get collective, and it's very egregious about creating gangs, little cults, little coteries of agreement, because by itself, evil has no power at all. If it approached Yeshua and he said, get out of here. Get out of here. Go away. Don't bother me.
Yeah.
You know? And, that's what we need to, that's how we need to treat it. Get out of here. Go away. We don't need you.
I have no problem doing this. I've really learned to do this, but the children. You
mm-hmm.
know? The young people
that's why they're going for the children is because the kids are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that makes the crime even worse. Okay. Hey, let's stay up here. All right. Tina, okay. God bless you. And we're going to hold all of your requests in our hearts.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Let's see, Glenda, we have Anne. Your line is open, Anne. Can you hear us?
Hello, Anne.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Well, I want to first say a gratitude and then ask for two blessings. I purchased a business about 9 years ago. It did not go the way I expected. I had to leave a very well-paying full-time job to kind of rescue the business because of a legal contract. 9 years later, I now have 4 full-time people and 2 part-time people working for the business for me, and they're awesome. Every one of them is a delight to work with and just so conscientious. I feel so blessed to work with all of them. And we had our best year ever last year. I set a goal that I thought would I sold 15% of my business, and I thought, this is a really ambitious goal, and we hit it. We made up what was lost, and then we even added another 10%. And so I come into 2023 in a really new place, in that the business feels very more stable, more settled in certain ways than it's ever felt before. And one of my best employees, he and his wife are going to have their first baby next week. The baby is due. So my first blessing request is for Troy and Kayla to have just a beautiful delivery of their baby girl, and everything goes smoothly, and we're able as a team to support Troy in taking some time off to really be with his baby and his wife. That's the first blessing request. The second is, it's surprising, but I really haven't done any kind of formal marketing of my business. It's kind of built itself on just a few little website links and some referrals. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, who's that?
Are you there? Ann?
Ann, we lost you. I mean, I see that you're still there, but maybe it's just your phone.
Can you hear me now?
Now
yeah, can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah. I don't know where I dropped.
You were talking about marketing with your business.
Yeah. So, I've never had to market. Now I have, you know, I have a young man that really want to give, you know, be able to provide a great career path, and I have another young man who's going to get married, and I think he's going to start having kids pretty fast. And so I walk into 2023 with the hope that, and the hope that we can create more new business and career paths for wonderful young people. That and that it's. Our business is love in action through divine purpose. So that's my blessing request.
Oh, well, you're already blessing people in a very important and mighty way. I think it's just wonderful to create communities of support where people can come together and create values and products and thoughts and ideas and It sounds like a great community you're building, and more power to you. And I'm sure the marketing will come easily because you're already doing something that's very worth telling other people about. So, blessings are with you, Anne.
I think we lost you again. Are you there?
Let's just move on because we've got to get through here. And God bless
Thank
you.
You.
And really proud of what you're creating.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anne. Blessings to you. Here is area code 727.
Hello, everyone. Hello, the community. This is Christine. I came on a little bit late during the COVID conversation. I'm not going there. I have some hope. And I'm going to take a few minutes to read something. What's happened on Friday will be revealed this week. This is God at work, and God is with us, and God has the wheel, and this is why. There are four young men in Utah, Loy, Roland, Darren, and Gaynor Brunson. They're just citizens. And I'm going to read the background real quick. It's short. It's not real long. Loy, Raylan, and Darren and Gaynor Brunson, the brothers, witnessed the 2020 election along with claims from members of Congress that the election was rigged. What got their attention was when the proposition to investigate those claims was presented to Congress and put to a vote. What came as a shock to the four brothers is when they discovered that 387 members of Congress, along with VP Mike Pence, actually voted against the proposed investigation, thus thwarting the investigation. Whether the election was rigged or not, no longer their main concern. What now became the concern was those members of Congress violated their sworn oath by voting to thwart the investigation. The brothers wanted to do something about this. Their brother Darren had quite a lot of experience in the legal field, which started out when he began suing banks in an attempt to show the corruption in that part of the financial world. So he had enough knowledge to file a lawsuit. The now current 385 members of Congress, along with VP Mike Pence, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, he already had experience with SCOTUS, which is the Supreme Court, by bringing two petitions to them, both of which were denied, but this experience gave him enough success along with the ways to give him the confidence that maybe, just maybe, he might be able to do something about this thwarted investigation. I want to make a little stop here. I only have another paragraph to go, and then I'll read the actual lawsuit. It's not very long. The oldest brother, decided to become a constitutional expert. He started studying the Constitution. He found four articles that are in our favor. He is bringing the Constitution back to life and holding these people accountable to it. So let me go on. Their brother Gaynor was heavily occupied with his audio, video, television business. So Darren got together with his other two brothers to plan out the strategy. They decided to have their oldest brother Lloyd to be the name on the lawsuit, which is called a complaint. And because he would be the complaint, the court would refer him to the plaintiff, or as the plaintiff. The 388 people being sued will now be called defendants. Lloyd filed the complaint, which eventually got stuck in federal court. This was in Utah. So they got together and decided to have their brother, Raylan, file the identical lawsuit with his name on it in the Utah Second District Court. While Lloyd's lawsuit continued to be held hostage in the federal court, Raylan's lawsuit eventually made it to the Supreme Court. Here, they have the events on here, but I'm going to go back up to the top. Brunson versus Alma S. Adams, E-T-A-L, in parentheses underneath, Biden, Harris, Pence, and 385 members of Congress. And under that, currently there are two lawsuits identical to each other. The first one, filed by Lloyd Brunson, is still held up in Utah federal court. The second one, filed by Raylan Brunson, has made it to the Supreme Court under the United States SCOTUS docket number 22-380, where nine justices in conference will vote, only four needed, to move to a hearing. And that was done on Friday, and we do not know where it stands right now. I'm sure either Monday or sometime early this week it will be released. People demonstrated in front of the Supreme Court on Friday saying, you know, to take this case, to take this case. This is what it says, the lawsuit. Both lawsuits include defendants, President Biden, Harris, former VP president, and 385 members of Congress for breaking their oath of office by voting against the proposition that came from members of Congress. There's 100 members of Congress that went against them. So those are the witnesses. To investigate the claims that there were enemies of the Constitution who successfully rigged the election. Let me repeat that. To investigate the claims that there were enemies of the Constitution who successfully rigged the election. Next line. Both lawsuits are about the defendants breaking their oath of office. And this is the oath. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The question, how can you support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Answer, you investigate. If there are claims that there is a threat, even if you don't believe there is a threat, you investigate. How else can you, this is their question, how else can you determine if there is a threat unless you investigate? You can't. Were there claims of a threat to the Constitution? Yes. Where did these serious claims come from? 100 members of Congress. What was the threat? That there were enemies of the Constitution who successfully rigged the 2020 election. Is the lawsuit about a rigged election? No. It's about the members of Congress who voted against the investigation, thereby thwarting the investigation. Was this a clear violation of their oath? Yes. The relief that Lloyd and Raylan are seeking, that defendants be permanently removed from office and not allowed to hold a public office again. Now, this is how they did this. They filed in their state. The first one, they filed two cases in the state. One was dismissed. One they sat on. They didn't do anything. They did the same thing as Congress. They did nothing. So this went on. They filed this last year in March. And this went on until Thanksgiving Day of this last year. And nothing was being done. So they said, we got to do something. They're not going to do anything. They're going to let this sit if we don't do something. And this was in Utah. So Loy went to the Constitution and he went through it like a fine tooth comb, and he found section 11, I believe it was. He found that there was something that said something about an emergency of war, and because it was an emergency, they expedited him above all the malarkey of having to go through this court and this court and this court. They just pushed him right up to the top, and they have to do it a certain way. It has to be bound like a book. There's only so many words they can use. I mean, his brother Darren knew all this stuff, and it had to all be done a certain way. So they did it, and they did it with this proposition of it being an emergency and for war. So the Supreme Court called them as soon as they got it and said, when can you get this whole thing to us? And they said, well, probably about 2 weeks. No, can you get it to us sooner? Well, okay, so they did it in a week, and they got it to them. And the next thing, they got him on the docket, and they gave him a date, which was Friday. So now we're all on our edge of seat to see what is going to happen this week. But this is two things I want to mention. These guys are trumpet players. I don't know if that strikes you, but it struck me. These are trumpet players. God is in driving this car right now. But this is a miracle. They have not had anybody ever be able to do this. And they did it in the 70s on some thing, but it was the government that did it, not a citizen. But because they weren't lawyers, and they didn't go to claims court, they knew right where to go and what to do because Darren had this experience previously, and it worked. And they got on the docket. And so this, I want you guys to feel the I don't even know how to say it. I want you to feel the hope in this. That's what I want to say. I want you to feel the hope and encouragement. These are four brothers that they're young. I mean, these are, they're trumpet players. Angels are trumpet players. And so, they play trumpet all over the place. They're not just, you know, like in your backyard trumpet players. These are trumpet players that are very well known, and they're very good. So God kind of has a sense of humor. And so, So they're trumpet players. They get into this court, and this is opening the whole can of worms is going to come down.
Good.
And this is why I wanted to bring this for hope to everybody, because I know this is a miracle. This is a miracle.
Yes,
and
it is.
And so I want you to hold them in your heart with love, that this goes their way. And they have a plan. If it doesn't, they only need 4 votes, but I think it's going to go 9 votes. I honestly do, just because of the way they described. I watched him do on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
He was, did a speech.
Okay. Carolyn, you've made your point, and it's wonderful. I mean, we have to do a blessing today.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you. It will be a big part of our blessing. And Blessing Givers continues to hold it in your blessing. I'll send some emails out. But Carol, we gotta wrap this up. This has gone on. We could lose members of our audience right now. We really could. Okay.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, dear. This is good news, very good news. And we will support them with our hearts, our prayers, and our blessings.
To your point about the Constitution, I just want you to know that it's gonna be coming alive again.
Good.
Yay.
Yes. All right.
Thank you, Anne.
Very good news. You know, everything that's been presented today is all good news. You know, even the subversive elements we've exposed today, the fact that they're being exposed is good news. So we've got good news for this year. And that's how I want to summarize what everyone has presented. And we've got two more callers, and then we've got to get into our blessing. Okay.
We do, Glenda. Susan, I already opened up your line.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Okay, just thank you, thank you. A friend of mine has AFib. Her name is Sue. I would like to put her on the list. I had a mild flu, and I've had a lot of chronic issues that certainly come from the past, as Glenda was talking about, and I'm finding what I'm taking, like zinc and quercetin, even though I got somewhat sick, it was as though I was being protected from really getting, you know, all blown out asthma and all the other stuff that traditionally I have gotten. So to me, that's a major miracle. I want to say, I watched The Good Nurse, and I realized the importance of being an advocate, and I've had my own unfortunate circumstances with administrative hospital issues. And I just want to put in a plug for, you know, for doing the right thing and standing up for what you believe in. I took a few shots, and then I had a bad reaction from a booster, and I said, no more, never again, so forth. I mentioned to my doctor after a few times seeing her about what, you know, I was experiencing. Oh, you should get a, you know, we should check your brain and this. And I said, nothing doing. That's fine. I'm fine. And she's made some mistakes with me, although she's done a lot of good things. I know where to stand up and say, no, not happening.
That's
and
right.
It feels good. Oh, believe me, I've learned a lot of lessons to do that. They put me in the hospital wrongfully once because the hospital, I took a blood test twice, and they felt they had to do that or they'd be sued by me. It was not a good thing. And the next day, an infectious disease person came and said, why are you here? I said, I don't know. Yesterday, they hooked me up with intravenous IV. She goes, you show no symptoms of what they're thinking of. Would you like to go home? And they brushed it under the rug. I went home. My doctor, who's a lovely gal, she said, well, at least I didn't have you go to the ER. I said, what a shame that you couldn't just say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I was afraid of you know, not doing the thing that the hospital felt I should do. And so we went along with it. You know, it was a shame. But at least say, I made a mistake here and I'm really sorry. You know, no, you don't get that. So and yet in many ways, I do love her, but it's just unfortunate. But I really learn, and, you know, I must stand up. And the last thing is, I see on TV these commercials about anti-Semitism. I don't know what to stand up. I'm looking at it and it bothers me. I'm saying, why is that different than any other year? I'm Jewish and I've known this all my life, but I need to put it out there because it's gnawing at me. I'm not sure. Do I ignore it? Do I not? So I just putting it out there and then I'm done. Thank you. Love you.
Okay. Love you too, Susan. And
yep, that's it.
Good work on standing up for your values, what you believe, holding into your faith, and moving forward with love. That's how we get the best out of life and out of our life. So, I think we've, God bless you, Susan.
And yeah, God bless all of you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Susan. Thank you. Francine, you are here. You're our last caller.
Hi.
Welcome.
It's Francesca. Hi. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much. I'll be very, very quick. Thank you so much, Glenda, for your talk about gratitude. I will definitely put that completely on my radar. I loved hearing about how that can improve your life. And I just want to ask for continued blessings for me to have peace at work and for me to be a person who can bring peace and harmony through bringing Christ through, as you said, Glenda, in my work environment. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. God bless you, too. and the blessings will just surround you as you face life with a spirit of gratitude. So, Nancy, we are going to go into our, we're going to, and we're going to move on into our blessing. I just want you to relax. I want you to take your attention out of the worries and conflicts of the world, because that is not what brings us blessings. Let us rise above it. Let us be in this place of inner peace, beauty, finding the aesthetic of your life, that which is right for you, that which you can most fulfill and give to others as you move into the full radiance of your life and just be there with it. Now, take a deep breath. Hold it and just release any cares you picked up or anything you brought to our Sunday today. Release it. Let go of it. And just be here for the goodness of who you are and the goodness of God. We are here to be with our Creator. We are here to be with the highest and the best that we can receive for ourselves and for those we love. And to know that as we are receiving the blessing, we receive it not only for ourselves, but all those for whom we have asked. We are told by Yeshua that you must ask to receive, but not everybody knows to do that. So we ask for them. And in asking for them, it is given to all of us. That's the beauty of being one humanity, one human race, at the highest and best of who we are. Now, I want you to just start extending your legs and your arms, stretching them out, getting the kinks out of your body, because it's got flow energy. You know, this is, it's a very high frequency energy coming from even above the stratosphere. Very high frequency energy that is stewarded and conveyed, stewarded by the angels and conveyed by the Holy Spirit directly to you. To be flowed through your body into the earth. And the earth has her own very high frequency of energy from which all life is created. You can imagine that radiance of energy from which all of life could be created on an enormous scale of living, of loving, and creating future generations. So let us be prepared to receive the energy and then convey it back. As you're receiving the blessing, the only thing to remember is don't cross your legs or your hands, because we don't want energy flowing from one direction to cross over to the other. We want it just flowing down to the earth, back from the earth up to heaven, and back and forth. It will be dislodging clumps of old energy that just kind of got pinned down because circumstances were not right for releasing it. And when it's released and freed, miracles come from that. Changes of heart come from that. Recoveries of understanding come from that. And reunions with people we may not have seen for half of our lives come from that. Unions in the most positive possible way come with others. And we resolve our lives in the best way we can. That brings unexpected, unforeseen blessings newly into your life, which you can use and travel through the days and weeks with you. And now, let's begin our breathing. This is a special breath I've taught you to breathe, and there are new ones always on our call, so I'll just refresh you a little bit. We call it a four square breath because it floats in two directions. It starts with an exhale that you count to the count of four, and it's just your count of four because every breath is unique. Yours will not be the same as mine. You may have a slow, deep breath. Others may have a very quick breath, but it's vital and invigorating. Now, after you exhale and give forth your breath, you give a moment to the count of four, the same count of four, for it to be received into the common breath of the earth, and then received back to the count of four to nourish and revitalize you. Then to the count of four, you pause that every part of your body, heart, and soul can receive that breath and carry with it the blessings that come with it, the love that comes with it, the generosity that comes with it, our unity that comes with it. So we will, let us do it once together, then I will begin my prayer to Yeshua, and the blessing givers will join me. Let us breathe into the world, giving forth our breath to the count of four. Let us pause for the count of four for it to be received. Let us take back breath for ourselves to the count of four and assimilate it into our heart, mind, body, and soul to the count of four. And now continue. Dear Yeshua, we pray to walk with you all the days of our lives. We pray to feel your love in our lives and to take your teaching into our lives. To know that you have brought us restored into union with our Heavenly Father, who is the giver of all grace, who is the giver of all love, who is the giver of all answers and all blessings, that we may know this and surrender into his care and love for all of our lives, then to give forth whatever we may. We thank you that you are with all of us and bringing us all through these turbulent times into awakening, and awakening then into unity. We thank you for your blessings in all of this, and we ask for those who know not to ask, that the hungry be fed, the children be protected, loved, and cared for, the elderly be held in appreciation and love and unity, that they not be forgotten, but their lives shall be a blessing, a remembered blessing to all that knew and loved them. We ask that we all be united with you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that all blessings that were asked for shall be filled, and all in need of your gracious love shall receive. In your holy name, we ask these things. Amen.
Your blessing has been given. Amen. 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 Now, I want you to go and rest. Just be quiet for at least 7 minutes. Lie down. Lie down so that you're just prone. Relax this evening. And don't think anything. Do not use your mind. Not even for prayer. Just be a blank slate upon which God writes the blessings and the answers that you need for your life. A wishes for me a very good week and much, much to be grateful for. And there's always plenty for your gratitude. Bye-bye for now. Have a wonderful week and look forward to being back again next week.